The drug wars in Mexico have made the border community of Juarez a killing field for murder and violence and dance. If that track makes you feel like dancing, consider the lyrics. With an AK-47 and bazooka on my shoulder, cross my path and I'll chop your head off. We are bloodthirsty, crazy, and we like to kill. We are the best at kidnapping. The music of Narco Corridos. Is it a bold celebration of violence or an anthem of drug lords advertising their own reputations? Among Mexicans and Latinos in the U.S., Narco Corridos are hugely popular. Its rise tracks directly with the homicide rate in Juarez, 300 homicides a year in 2008 to nearly 4,000 today. Artists like Commander and Buknas de Culican singing about death and the narcos behind the drug wars, like the cowboys and outlaws of another era. The new documentary, Narco Cultura, juxtaposes this flashy life of Narco Corrido artists with the lives of individuals and families personally affected by the drug war's destruction. The film is directed by award-winning photographer Shaul Schwartz, who says the story inspired him to make a leap as a storyteller.
My background is of still photography, and this conflict was raging out of control. And in 08, I embedded myself in Juarez and couldn't stop going. The idea that I would fly to El Paso, back then the safest city in the U.S., and literally walk across to the most dangerous city in the world at the time just blew my mind. And that's when I met Edgar Quintero, the singer in Bucanas, and they were always performing so close to the border, and I would kind of zigzag across the scene. And to see a club at the same day you may have seen a murder scene. And to see a club full of people chanting these songs, parading around with fake bazookas, it just kind of blew my mind. And I couldn't tell that story in a still picture when that's kind of how the movie was born.
Part of this film is the narrative of how youth culture grows up. There are children in this movie who are terrified of being murdered. There are kids who know everything there is to know about guns and love to talk about it. And then there are kids who want to be
narcos.
A hip-hop artist and narcos. Yeah.
What these kids do is they go to the clubs and they want to be narco for a night. There's even a term for it now. They say narco platicante, which means narco talker. That everybody kind of acts up as a narco, except the next day they got to go and work. And
it's like a Disney ride that simulates the experience.
Absolutely. It's the best reference I think Edgar told me one day is like, think that it's a weekly Halloween party, except everybody dresses up as the favorite new narco. And what really drew me is, how did we get to this place? And the more time you spend in the scene, the more you actually understand it. When you see how the political reality of this drummed up drug war has not gone anywhere and in fact failed so bad, when you see all the kingpins still running around, and when you see the opportunity of Mexican kids, you know, a kid in Juarez typically has a family that works in local factories called maquiladoras. And when he says, what do I do next? He looks at these kids rolling around in their trucks, getting buried in mausoleums. The girls in high school want to meet a narco, a son of a narco. It's just what they say, la moda now.
Handfuls of $100 bills. What do the artists think they're doing? What is it, just making a living? Is it just sort of living off something that they can't really control? Is it Wild West?
I think it's a little bit of mix. Edgar does admit to being a product of this culture as well. At the end of the day, when he gets pushed, he's like, look, I try to sing love songs, I try to sing other party songs, but they don't sell. We deliver what the crowd wants. And maybe he's letting himself off the hook a little easy, but to some degree it is true. It's become a very lucrative scene. A big artist like Commander will sell out 15 to 20 shows, perform to as much as 50,000 people, get paid up to $100,000 a show. They're no joke.
A message that makes it to the suburbs of Des Moines, Iowa, or Chicago?
Oh, absolutely. Huge, and many places beyond belief, much, much more remote than the ones you mentioned. This music definitely has legs.
You spend a lot of time in Juarez and in places that are in real close proximity to this brutality and violence. Is part of this art a way of celebrating having survived
I don't think that the art is celebrating the survive. I think there's a disconnect in many ways, because I remember when I would come back from Juarez and meet Edgar, the singer in the movie, he would commonly say, show me the Juarez stuff. I want to see how it really looks like, because he really is from L.A. He does not know the streets well enough. He could sing about murders all day, but he doesn't know how it feels or look like. So there is some disconnect across that line. But at the same time, corridos are popular on both sides of the border. Even Richie, the CSI worker that I cover in the movie, at the end of the day, loves corrido. And one day I was there, and the scene is in the movie. He invited me to a Mother's Day celebration at his grandmother's house, of all people. And soon enough, after the band played a couple of love songs, the corrido started blasting. And I was shocked. And Richie was dancing with his grandma to these very violent lyrics. And I think that's what we don't really kind of digest. This genre and this topic is really a big chunk of Mexican culture today. It's not Pancho Villa anymore.
Which motivates me to ask, does it shock you to have the CSI Richie singing the violent lyrics with his 80-year-old grandmother? Or does it speak to you, too, because of your experience in Juarez, your proximity to all this violence?
Does it speak to me? It doesn't speak to me. You won't really find me humming this music all too often. But I've become a lot less angry about people who like it or why it's out there. I'm very acceptive of it. What does bother me is kind of how we on this side have tucked it all away, and it just, we have this amazing way of making it feel all far and disconnected to us. And when you cover the story, when you see how this genre is born, you understand how much we're in the center of it. And I would be very upset if people saw the film and just kind of blamed the Mexican kids instead of kind of thinking bigger picture.
Joel Schwartz's first feature-length documentary, Narcocultura, premiered at Sundance this year, and it opens in New York and Miami this weekend. Shaul, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Tumbeo no de casco, el riflo no fallaba. Buen pulso, buen ojo, mi escuela rifaba.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.